Good morning, everybody. I'm in Nantucket, Massachusetts, awaiting. I suppose we're getting a hurricane here in a few days. Anyway, I am a compulsive overeater, food addict, bulimic. I'm restricted. I was an exercise bulimic. I've had every aspect of this disease, pretty much since the day I've been born. And the only part of it I haven't really touched on, and it's a yet for me, is anorexia. And I haven't done that yet. So I am almost 70 years old. I have four kids. I have 10 grandkids, eight and under. Came into OA in 1986. And then went into AA soon after. I've stayed married, which is a miracle, probably because of the program, all these years. I've been married for 43 years. Came into Al-Anon in 1980, which was really my intro to the 12 steps, and I began to understand the disease concept of addiction. I grew up in an alcoholic home, got into this marriage in 1980, and I was like, didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I took suggestions. You know, if I ever doubt the presence of God, all I have to do, or the presence of something divine, some days I call it spirit of the universe or sunlight of the spirit, but mostly God, because it has like a female and male portion. Some days it feels more. Anyway, if I ever doubt it, all I have to do is look back and see how I landed here today. And you know, I'm a little humbled by the fact that I'm even able to carry this message, because it saved my life. I'm here today because I didn't want to live. I came into the rooms in 1986 not wanting to live, and I had three kids at the time. I didn't know how I was going to manage. And I was bulimic, and I was actively bulimic, and I stopped very soon, as almost as soon as I came in. But let me tell you my background, you know, where it all started. And you know, I would tell you I was born this way, and I was the fifth of eight kids. Grew up in New Jersey, grew up in an alcoholic home. There was a tremendous amount of drama, and there was abuse, lots of abuse. And you know, I would like to say that I think they did the best they could with what they had. I don't think that they had as they didn't. You know, it's a disease of self-centeredness and self-propulsion, and that's really what I grew up with. I grew up with these self-centered, self-propelled people that were trying to raise eight kids. And so I've done obviously a lot of work around it, and because it was my foundation. You know, I came in with all these mistaken beliefs into my day. Almost every day, there were a lot of mistaken beliefs. I thought, and I didn't, you know, I had all the regular thoughts of I'm flawed, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough. So I learned pretty early on to lie and to cover up and to wear these masks and, you know, to be something I didn't, you know, I would look around me and say, okay, I want to be like that person. So that's really how I went into every day. I just went in trying to figure out how I was going to manage, because I felt so alone and so unsupported and so, I suppose, unloved. And what I want, and I was so needy of attention. And but I developed some good survival skills too, good coping skills, one of which was my relationship to food. Alcohol, drugs. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic, food addict from But my primary relationship that comforted me during all this was food. I thought I was fat, and but I look at pictures and I had all these distortions of body and mind, spirit. I didn't have any foundation, and I was grappling for it. I was wanting to be grounded somehow. I did have this need. I had this urge, and maybe that's my spiritual part of me that propelled me towards maybe towards the light, as it felt so dark. I felt so victimized, and I was, I was a victim in many ways. And I started looking, tried to be, oh God, it was a lot of work. It was just a that pulling myself up by my bootstraps every day and trying to go into the day and try to figure out which way was up was, it was mind-numbing. So I did. I found as soon as I could, I found besides food what goes way back. And I had a, I could, I still can. I can still walk into a room, not as much. I can still walk into a room and my antenna go up. Okay, where's the food? Where's the booze? Where's the wine? I listen for the sound of those glasses. So my father was a physician, and so and his office was in our house, and I would go down regularly, put my hand in his jar of Darvon, because back then they didn't give you prescriptions. They gave you little white envelopes with pills in them, and I would grab a hold of them and ingest. I used to have migraines, and they worked. Darvon worked. So I was Darvon, I suppose, an opiate addict, as a good friend of mine always reminds me. Yeah, you were an opiate addict, Sal. So that was my foundation, and grew up with alcoholism all around me. I looked like I now this is my perception. I looked like I had it together, that I had an idea. But it was really hard to manage this obsession while trying to do the day. Very, very hard. And I did go to college, and I graduated college and went in Boston. And part of one of my internships was to go to an AA meeting. And so I went to an AA meeting when I was I was going to my anyway I went to at Mass General, and it was the first it was a spiritual experience for me, because and I had no idea, I was using and abusing everything I could possibly use and abuse, which included people. I went into that meeting. It was the first time I ever experienced the experience of someone telling the truth. I didn't have that experience a lot growing up, and I can it actually brings tears to my eyes right now, is because I people actually tell the truth, and that maybe I could. I'm not sure I wanted to. I wasn't. It was too much. There was too much truth to deal with. So, just went about my day, went about my life, ended up getting married. Did look like I did all the right things, holding on for dear life with my use and abuse of food, bulimic. Picked up bulimia in college by reading Good Housekeeping. There was an article in there, oh God, that, there was this new phenomena among young women of binging and purging. I was a binger. I was a purger. I used laxatives. I used whatever I could to rid my body of any physical manifestation, spirit, emotional manifestation of my irritable restlessness and, discontent. I was so bereft. So I got married. Married my I practically married the first guy I had sex with. No, that's not true. Second. And really didn't know what I was doing. I was 25. Of course, I did what, I went to work, holding on for dear life, had my first child at 28, and I gained 70 pounds in that pregnancy because I didn't know how to eat normally. So I ate for two just in case. So I don't know. So it was wild. It was I didn't know how to do any of it. So I ended up having her, had another. So what happened? I think as a result of being in the rooms, I was in the 12-step rooms of Al-Anon. I met people that were in AA. I met people that were in OA. Began to share. I began, that truth, that, first step principle of honesty. I began to open up that door of truth that I had, and pain and suffering. I mean, there was just a lot. I began, still wasn't sure I wanted to live, but I couldn't die. I had too many children. I couldn't go. Well, where was I going? So hated my husband, blamed everything on everybody else. They always say that, the finger pointing out, three pointing back. So anyway, the very good friend Nancy Jane said to me, "You need to be in OA," because I started sharing about the bulimia. And I always used to think I was the original bulimic, because when I don't even think they had the word then. We didn't have cell phones, we didn't have computers. I couldn't, do any of that. So I walked into an OA meeting, and they handed me the sheet, the gray sheet, thank God, because it told me that I had to have some boundaries around my food. I needed help. I needed somebody to say to me, okay, this is what you do. Treated it as a diet, and thought that that was the solution. And it was, actually, for me at the time. It really truly was. They told me I had to have, I was a compulsive eater. I hadn't quite owned all of it yet. All the pieces were falling into place. It takes time. Anybody who's new, this takes time. And time, they always say time takes time. This be patient, and be gentle, be kind. Really be kind, which I was not to myself. I took it on. I began to take on. And the other thing that happened is that, I drank and I drugged, and the drugging went away. Had nothing to do with it. That must have been God. I have no other explanation. The bulimia left also. So I was left with just being a garden variety compulsive overeater, binger. I was the purging left. That was also something that was really outside of me, power greater than me. There was something out there for me. And I went through this crazy childhood. There was always a presence in my world that I know that's there. And maybe that's what kept me somewhat sane and not kill myself. So that presence had acted, and I suppose I responded. But at the, when I put the food down, when the purging went away, I was just a grand variety compulsive overeater. I also started drinking like it was my job. So I had these two dual addictions, so I had to do both at the same time, because if I picked up one, the other one came, and if I picked up the other, I was back. Grateful for that. So I ended up in AA. My first meeting was in New Jersey. My second, my AA meeting, my home group still in New Jersey when I go back, is in Pagoda. And my OA meeting was on Spring Valley Road in Paramus, New Jersey. So, you know, I just have, I have, I'm here. You know, I'm, so I started putting one foot in front of the other, began to experience the sense that there was some freedom, that there
5 minutes,
was,
Sally.
yeah, thank you. I began to do what you told me to do. I was very defiant. There was still a lot of reluctance. I was not sure I was willing to go to any lengths. They always told me that was step zero. And you know, I really thought I should be willing to go to any lengths, but I was willing. I don't know what lengths meant even. So I was introduced to the 12 steps in Al-Anon, and then in OA, got a sponsor. Went to HOW meetings back in New Jersey. They have HOW meetings. And so, you know, my experience in OA has gone from being really tightly constricted around food. I did that for a long time, to letting go. I couldn't, it was me. It was my power that was keeping the food down, and I had to, and I was fearful that if I let go, that God wouldn't come in and help me. And so, you know, my morphing, my the tweaking that I needed to do to my food plan, I did, and found sponsors. And I've had great sponsors in OA and AA. Tried to use AA for a while, as maybe because I didn't want to totally deal with and be really honest about everything. OA has taught me honesty more than anything, and those steps, as I love the steps, and they've saved my life. I love using them. I love being in them. I love talking about them. I love, they're a way of life for me. You know, this is a philosophy for me. It's not something I have to do. It's a way of living. It's part of what I do. It's in me. I used to say the disease was in my, you know, in my skin. You know, I can, but this is totally, OA is where I really put all the pieces together. I had a lot of pieces to put together. And you know, the workshop book, it's under my pillow, 12-step workshop and study guide, I think is the best. I love taking people through the that workbook, and you know, the worksheets of other beliefs, harms, fears, resentments. And I'm actually in the middle of doing another one right now, and it just, I get freer and freer and freer every time I do them. My plan is probably the same as the day, the plan of eating that I have, one of the tools, only one of many. I still pretty much do the same, three meals a day, and nothing in between, one day at a time. I have other things. I don't do recreational sugar.
2 minutes, Sally.
Thank you. And so I have stayed on this path, and it has saved my life. I have freedom today, more freedom than I have. I don't have any really real words of wisdom. Had a thought, just went right out of my head. I suppose the most important thing is that I don't do this alone. And you know, talking about, I used, you know, I've heard in OA say a lot, and in AA, that, but mostly in OA, the physical, emotional, no, the emotional and spiritual piece has to come before the physical. I used to balk at that. I thought, let's do physical. And I my experience is that it is emotional and spiritual, and I have to stay on top of that. You know, with the 10th step every day, you know, where was I resentful? Where was I angry? Where was I fearful? What did I do well? I have to look at what I do well every day, because my disease is a major thing in my head that tells me what I heard as a kid, that I'm a fraud, da, 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 da. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. And it came on pretty strong today, because I'm speaking here. So it was like, okay. I'm like, I hear you. I'm respectful, because it's there. It will convince me. So, you know, the tools are, and the, you know, they talk about the stool, the emotional, physical, and spiritual, you know, the balanced stool of those three aspects, very important to me. I'm not really saying anything original. I don't have a lot original to say other than my experience. And all I can encourage anybody is to just keep coming. Don't give up. Just don't give up. It
That's
all
time.
works. Okay, perfect. Right on time. Thanks, everybody. And thank you for thank you, Fran. Thank you, Judy, for inviting me. I appreciate it. Thanks.